This is Ozarks at Large. We continue our week-long drive along Route 66 now. On Main Street in Miami, Oklahoma, a street literally stamped with Route 66 emblem, is the Coleman Theater. The venue opened to a packed house of 1,600 in April 1929. Although it never closed, it endured leaky roofs and partial decay. Now, it's a link between Miami, Oklahoma's past and future.
Right now, you're still standing in an 82-year-old building. Now, when we cross over this seam over here, you're going to be in a brand new building.
Glenn Redding is on the second floor of the Coleman Theater. On one side, a brand new ballroom that's bringing new activity to the town of 13,000. On the other is the Coleman itself, constructed under the guidance of George L. Coleman. Coleman and his brother moved to the Miami, Oklahoma area around 1900. Two 50-something bachelors trying to make a living digging water wells. Their lives changed when they discovered one of the world's largest lead and zinc deposits. Soon, they were making $1 million a month. Bachelorhood soon ended, and George Coleman and his wife began taking the train to San Francisco, Chicago, and New York to see the best vaudeville acts. But the Colemans tired of traveling far from home, and George wanted to sign top acts to come to him and his two small theaters he'd built in downtown Miami. That offer was turned down because those theaters were too small. Glenn Redding, tour guide and Coleman Theater historian, picks up the story.
So he contacted the Senior Orpheum Vaudeville Circuit out of New York City that had contracts for some of the biggest stars in America to be sent out to theaters. He offered them big money to come perform here, and they turned him down. They said, sorry, Mr. Coleman, the type of stars that we represent, we do not send to little rinky-dink theaters like the Glory Bee out in the middle of nowhere. These type of stars have to have a theater like we have here in New York City. He says, no problem, Uncle, build one.
He did. He signed Top Talent to perform 1 year later, and he contracted the Bowler Brothers of Kansas City to build his grand theater. They completed the job in just 130 days. It opened with 1,600 seats on April 29, 1929, with live acts and the silent film The Dummy, starring Frederick March and Zazu Pitts. The theater would host silent films and live acts for the next 10 years until George Coleman retired to Florida and leased it to an out-of-town company that began showing first-run sound movies. As radio and TV cut into the attendance, the Coleman sagged. The roof leaked, and on stormy nights, only seats under the balcony provided dry conditions.
If you came to the movies when it was raining, you had to sit under the balcony to stay dry or bring an umbrella. The balcony would catch the rainwater, ran over to a fire exit door and out like the downspout on your house.
Though it never closed, the theater eventually fell back into the hands of the Coleman family, and after careful negotiations, the family donated the space to the city of Miami. 22 years later, the Coleman is thriving.
Repaint and re-gold leaf the theater here because of the water damage. It had not been painted since 1929. Now, that took several years and several dollars to get that done.
Glenn Redding says the slow revival has been fueled by volunteers and without major corporate donors. And he says the work has been achieved with the help of what he terms miracles. Miracles like the woman who found a program from the first night among her mother's belongings, or the small sample of carpeting saved from ruin in an upstairs closet that allowed workers to recreate the exact design for the lobby floor. Then there's the original marquee, torn down in the 1950s. A plain folder marked marquee discovered in a file cabinet offered some clues about that first marquee.
And we found out that the Norman Corporation out of Nevada, Missouri had made and installed it, and they're still in business today after over 115 years. We call them and ask them, can you make us a marquee like 1929? Because we know the numbers of the molds that you used. And they said, we threw those away 50 years ago. But our guys are good enough. You send us the original specifications and an old picture, we'll make one so close that most people will never know the difference. And we said we can live with that. About 2 weeks later, they called back and said, guess what we found in the old warehouse? We found the molds for the old marquee. So our marquee out in front is exactly like the one in 1929 because it came out of the same mold. Now, the most common word said up here at the top of the stairs is wow. And I've heard it in about 20 different languages this summer.
A short walk up the steps reveals not only a grand theater space, but another of the miracles Glenn Redding says keep coming. A 2,000-pound, 12.5-foot-tall, 10.5-foot-wide chandelier hangs over the balcony. The original was removed in 1963 for fear it might fall. Then it disappeared. Years later, an odd metal form was found under rotting hay in a horse barn formerly owned by the Coleman family. It was the base for the chandelier.
We get excited. We can get it replicated. We do a research and we find out that it had been cast in Italy. We said, what a break. Because somebody here had a brother in Italy, so we sent him on a mission. Find the foundry and find the molds. We get it recast. Well, he can't find a trace of it. He can't even find a little Italian that ever heard of it. So we cannot restore it without the molds. It's gone forever. It'll never hang again. The best we can do is put an old picture of it in the lobby and show people what it used to look like.
Later, a group from Columbia, Missouri toured the Coleman. A woman in that delegation asked why a theater in Miami, Oklahoma, had a picture of the chandelier that was actually hanging in Columbia. She had some interesting information to share.
She says they not only built a theater like this for us, they made us a chandelier exactly like that. And those molds that you're looking for in Italy are not in Italy, they're in Columbia, Missouri. Would you like to borrow them?
The short answer, yes. Still later, in the midst of 6 tons of debris pulled from the attic, the original candlelights were found. But the most fantastic find was still to come. The original Wurlitzer organ that had accompanied so many silent movies had gone missing as well. For 12 years, the Friends of the Coleman Theater pursued it. A series of connections led to a man in Burleson, Texas. He owned the original, and he offered for $100,000 to restore the organ and then install it inside the Coleman. A town of 13,000 needs some time to raise $100,000, and in the interim, another party offered 3 times as much to purchase the instrument. But the Texas owner kept his pledge, and eventually spent 6 months installing the original pipes and all. And this organ, that's an actual recorded performance you're hearing, is no simple collection of pedals and keys. With certain levers switched off, it is a regulation pipe organ. With those levers activated, an entire orchestra is under command. Hit the right key, and an actual snare drum is struck in an unseen room, reverberating around the theater.
Up in that room up there is a real snare drum with 2 drumsticks. You hit the right key. You know how to do them, you can get a drum roll, which I'm not against. Tom Mix was fighting the Indians and they needed the tom-tom. Or you needed a Chinese block.
Tom Mix was not only seen on the silver screen, he was one of many stars to get ready in the still-existing dressing room just off of the stage.
Now this is the star's dressing room, the biggest star of the show, because it's the closest to the stage floor. The big star always got that dressing room. If you were the second biggest star, you took a flight of steps right up there. Third biggest star took another flight of steps. Fourth biggest star, another flight of steps. The lesser of star, the farther you are from the dressing room. And as you found out, when you walk in here, you're standing in some famous footprints because you're standing exactly where Bob Hope and Bing Crosby were here many times. Harry Blackstone Sr., Tom Mix, some famous hoof prints out here. He rode his horse Tony out on the stage. Sally Rand, the fan dancer, the little burlesque girl from the 20s. She performed here several times, but she always had to wear a flesh-colored bodysuit because there's a city ordinance against nude dancing in Miami. I think in other cities she needed a feather in the right place. Cary Grant was here. So was Doris Day. And that was before she was Doris Day. Will Rogers performed in here. Then people like the Three Stooges, Larry, Curly, and Moe.
Plus the Ziegfeld Follies and the Little Rascals. There are dozens of great stories associated with the Coleman. Oklahoma's own Will Rogers played there, despite plane problems that forced him to land in a farmer's field and not at the local Miami airport. Oh, and that farmer didn't have a car.
But he's got a tractor. So he puts Will Rogers on the tractor, drives him into the Coleman Theater. Well, they're still out at the airport. No phones. Finally give up, come in. They find him on the ground across the street down playing marbles with a bunch of little kids. They get him up, bring him in. He does his act, or he starts to do his act. Hollers, wait a minute, wait a minute. Jumps off the front stage, runs out the front door. He had forgotten his marbles. He went back out and got them from those kids. And sitting in the audience is this 15-year-old boy, Charles Banks Wilson, the artist. Makes some sketches. After it's over, he goes home and he paints a picture of Will Rogers.
That picture can be seen in the lobby. And a tour of the Coleman allows visitors to see other hidden spots, like the trapdoor Harry Blackstone used to make people disappear, or the original light switchboard that had a phone allowing stage managers to talk directly to the projectionist, or even George Coleman at his house. An amazing touch for 1929. And the Coleman still serves as a stage for entertainment, from Tulsa Light Opera to the Platters to Azusa Night. The seats have been redone. Now the seating is 1,100. A new ballroom opened just this year, and it's bringing weddings, proms, and statewide conventions to downtown Miami. You can learn more about the Coleman's past and present at the theater's website, ColemanTheater.org. And there are several more great stories associated with the theater. You can hear many of those online at OzarksAtLarge.com. And our trip along Route 66 crosses into Kansas tomorrow when we visit one of the oldest continuously operating general stores along the Mother Road.
You get calls from companies, you know, that are logistics. They deal with, you know, merchandising, and they ask you all these questions. Says, well, what kind of store are you? Are you a supermarket or a blah, blah, blah? And I said, no, we're a grocery. Well, what's that? I said, we're what it was before all these other things came along.
This is Ozarks at Large.